Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
Sister Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. And I was supposed to have a co-host with me tonight, Michael P. McCarthy, and he bailed on me. Well, he didn't bail on me. He got a cold. It's just a cold. Just a cold. He's got a cold, so he stayed home, as we're all supposed to do nowadays. If you get any kind of, cold or... feeling not well, temperature or something, you got to stay home, got to go get a COVID test and all that kind of good stuff. So I get to be here by myself. So I'm asking you for a favor, and that is that you like these open shows. You keep calling in and asking questions, and I'm willing to come and answer them. That's what we're here for. That's the sole reason we do this. We do this for the sole reason to educate people about what professional financial advising is, and to help answer your questions with without economic bias, so that you get good, educated advice on personal finances without the BS that comes along with most commission-based people in this industry. And it's not that they're bad people. It's not that they're lying or they're cheating or doing something of that. It's that they've convinced themselves, because this is how I make money, and I know it. I'm talking about from my own personal experience. I was not a bad, evil person in 1995 and before, but I had to convince myself what was right inside the structure of what I could do. When I broke free and I was an independent, fee-only advisor, I could now do whatever it was I wanted and needed to do. If it's commission-based products, I can do it. I'm independent. We do send products off to commission-based people all the time. And we do what is best for our clients. And that's what the public needs to understand, is the emergence of professional financial advice. And that's why we do this show, is to demonstrate what that should look like. And if you're not getting it, if you're not getting what we do on this show on a regular weekly basis, you're not getting it. You're paying for something at the same rate as what you should if somebody had the ability to do comprehensive advice with you. Think of it this way. You go to McDonald's and you get a hamburger. You go to Ruth Chris and you get a hamburger. They're totally different hamburgers, but you're paying the same price for the McDonald's hamburger as you are for the Ruth Chris hamburger. And people don't understand that. That's what's going on in the industry, and that's why we do this radio show, is to demonstrate what professional advice is all about. So if you want to call in, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680, lead the conversation in the way you would like it to go. And I do have, fortunately, a couple people already calling in. Washington and Pasadena, how can I help you?
Good evening, Drew. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. And you?
Okay. Yes. Regarding refinancing, I noticed that the rates have come down considerably. I haven't seen rates this low. Looking around, and one of the things I think a few weeks ago you had mentioned a place called Better.com.
Yeah, I actually was on the radio with Sean and Bruce a week ago. You usually do a Monday, a Wednesday morning talk with them once or twice a month. And I was just talking about that a couple weeks ago, that if you're looking to refinance, you need to look at the online mortgage brokers. The online mortgage brokers are incredibly cost-effective and incredibly competitive, incredible customer service. I've already had three or four of the people in my office refinance their houses with a company like Better.com and just have walked away with an experience. They said, not only did I get a better interest rate, not only did I pay dramatically lower fees than what I was being offered anywhere else, but the customer service, they said, was remarkable. So, and Better's not the only one out there. There's a couple others, just the one that those guys have seen to work with, and and so we've had experience with them. So that's, I think, a great idea. And well, everyone should be refinancing right now. You're absolutely right.
Well, and then one of the things that I noticed is having to unfreeze credit in order to make sure that the creditors can go ahead and take a look at, I guess they're making a hard pull.
Yeah, that's a whole topic that we could go into, and I should, but, you know, and I'm going to talk about that. If I get a break, I'll just start talking about credit freeze and why a credit freeze is critical to every person listening. I don't care what your net worth is. A credit freeze is something you better learn about, and we've been talking about it for 6 or 7 years now. I personally froze my credit back in 2006, so, you know, you all need to learn about that. Great question, Washington. I appreciate you calling in and asking that. Bob in Timonium, how can I help you?
Yes, I have a question about financial advising is what you do, and I listen all the time. My question was, I haven't used one. We're 70. My wife and I are both working. I have about $900K. She has about half of that in savings IRA. My question to you is, you know, there's decisions that, I mean, we probably should have somebody give us advice. Are you a fiduciary? In other words, I think the way you describe yourself, not commissioned, and you're,
yeah, I mean, we're a fiduciary held under numerous organizations. I'm a fiduciary with the SEC because I'm independent. I'm a fiduciary because I've signed the fiduciary oath with NAFA, and I'm a fiduciary because I'm a CPA and a CFP.
So you work in the customer's best interest. I
know.
My idea is, and you were kind of saying you're not doing commission, but if a person like us, is, you know, a fairly good amount, not huge, but a fairly good amount set aside, but we want to know, not make mistakes or, you know, lose it, and we're 70, we're both starting to take our Social Security, half of mine. How do you actually get paid, and how do we pay you? You take our total assets, and
we charge.
That, or how do you do it?
We charge fees, and the fees tend to work out as similar or less than what most commission people take when they sell product to people. So our fees can be as low as 0.2%. They can be as high as 1%. Never higher than that, and they could just be a flat fee. It just depends on the client and what they're looking for. All right, my friend.
Assets, and I won't hold you too much on a few more seconds. Do you tend to like look at our accounts every like
when we do? We do a financial physical, Bob, and the financial physical is designed to look at your estate planning, your income taxes, your insurances, your company benefits, your retirement goals and objectives, your investment statements, bank accounts, cash flow. We're looking at all of it. So that's how we do it. And there's other firms out there that do similar, but do it in a little different way.
As long as somebody's looking at it, your interest is set at like annuities with so many pushing huge commissions up front where
just
you got them locked in. We don't really like to be locked into something we can't really get out of it anything.
Yeah, there are now fee-only annuities that can make some potential sense without the commissions. You've got to strip commissions out of annuities for them to even to be remotely considered, in my opinion. I got to run, Bob, but that's a great question.
Get your number and make an appointment.
Okay, so you'll hear it in a little bit, actually. Hold on. Right now, we got to go to traffic. Take it away, traffic. This is Drew Tignanelli, president of the Financial Consulate and host of Money, Riches, and Wealth. So often a radio listener calls me saying, I've been listening to you for years and have been meaning to call. When they come in for their comprehensive financial physical, they say, I wish I had done this years ago. If you've been meaning to call and meet with us, then do not wait. Call now to learn more about our trademark financial physical. The financial physical is designed to be a comprehensive second opinion analyzing all your goals and objectives. Are you maximizing tax efficiencies? Will you be able to maintain your lifestyle in retirement? Is your portfolio properly allocated, or just a few of the many parts of the physical? The best part of our service is you get to see the final product before you decide if you want to pay for it. We do this to assure you we are not selling product, and we guarantee the physical to be truly beneficial. Do not wait any longer. Call 410-823-7283. That's 410-823-SAFE, or visit us online at financialphysical.com.
Back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're on an open show tonight because like I said, as long as you keep calling and asking questions, we're going to keep doing open shows and satisfy the questions that are most interesting to you, where you're saying, you know, Drew, if you can answer this question for me, this would be make a big difference in our personal finances. So here's the question, and we want to answer those questions for you. 410-922-6680 if you want to call in and ask your question. 410-922-6680. There are no callers online right now, and I don't have Mikey or Chris to talk to. Chris is, I think, in the Grand Canyon or something. I don't know that he's in the Grand Canyon, but he's going to visit the Grand Canyon somewhere along this next 9 or 10 days. Mike is not feeling well, so I'm here by myself. So if you do me a favor and give me a call and ask your question, 410-922-6680 if you want to call in and ask your question and direct the conversation, 410-922-6680. But let's address, since I've got the time, nobody's here talking to me. Washington mentioned a credit freeze, and if he's going for a mortgage, he has to lift that credit freeze. And, you know, believe it or not, a lot of people don't know what a credit freeze is. So first off, the easy thing to do is Google search credit freeze Maryland Attorney General. Okay? Did you hear that? Credit freeze Maryland Attorney General. And when you Google search that, the very first thing is going to come up the Maryland Attorney General or whatever state you're in. Now, you know, I mean, we got people that listen to us from Alaska, I'm sure. And so you do Alaska credit freeze, Attorney General Alaska credit freeze, and you're going to still get a similar thing. So what it shows you when you do that Maryland credit freeze, you're going to see a list of Experian, Transamerica, and Equifax, and you can freeze your credit report. So nobody can get credit on your credit bureau reports unless you thaw your credit reports. Now, a lot of people will say to me, well, Drew, I did that. I, you know, I had an issue in my, you know, and they did this. But those are temporary things. This is a permanent credit freeze. I've had a permanent credit freeze on my account since 2006. And back then, I had to pay $5 to get it on both myself and my wife to each credit bureau. And I had to pay $5 every time I wanted to thaw it. Nowadays, you get the credit freeze free, and you get the thawing of your credit report free. And so the reason it's so important is if somebody goes in to a credit card company or a bank or whatever, borrow money in your name, and hear me, on the dark web, they have your name, they have your address, they have your date of birth, they have your Social Security number, they know where you've worked, they know what your mother's maiden name is. They know more about you than you probably do because of all the information that's been stolen from Equifax, from the federal government, from, you know, CareFirst, from whoever they stole it from. They have the information, and they'll be able to go in and pretend they're you, and the bank will go and do the credit bureau check. And when they do, if your credit bureau is not frozen, they'll look at it and say, yep, this is the person here sitting here in front of me, has all the information, his credit record is perfect, so we're going to lend him the $100,000. And next thing you know, you're going to start getting letters saying, hey, Drew, you owe BB&T $100,000, or you have a credit card that's delinquent now. And you're going to wonder, where the heck did that come from? I didn't borrow any of that money. And next thing you know, you find out that somebody stole your identity. And when that happens, it's not easy to rectify. It can get rectified, but it's going to take a lot of effort on your part. A credit bureau freeze. Give you an example. I went to buy a car from Subaru just recently. Subaru and us, okay? We went in there, and I totally forgot to thaw my credit report out. And they could not do anything to get me that car until I was able to get in front of the Equifax people and say, hey, I need to thaw my credit report. And I had to go through a whole bunch of efforts to be able to do that and so forth. And, you know, but they're not going to get to you until you thaw your credit report. And, you know, is LifeLock a good thing? Yeah, it's a good thing. But the very first thing you do is you do a credit freeze. If you want to add extra conservative protection, you could do LifeLock. I personally don't do LifeLock. I just do the credit freeze, and I put notifications and dual-factor authentication on all my financial accounts. You should be doing very similar things. And anybody who just heard what I said, who doesn't do a credit freeze, and someday you have your identity stolen, I want you to remember this conversation that I just had with you. All right? Mark in Ellicott City.
Yes.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. With the election coming up,
yep.
I thought and felt the consensus, if Trump won, the market goes crazy. If Biden wins, it tanks. But do you have a different thought about that?
Oh, absolutely. Markets don't work like that. Markets don't wait until Trump gets elected or wins the election or Biden wins the election. Market has already made the decision as to what's going to happen. And unless the decision they made is totally wrong, and they're assessing that on a daily basis, about 5 to 6 months ago, they already made the decision who they think is going to win the election, what it's going to do. And they've also factored in, if they're wrong, what will that do? And the market has already priced all that in. And people have a hard time understanding what I just said. And even when they hear it, they say, oh, well, you know, okay, that's your theory, but, you know, I'm not going to buy into that, because I know that if you get a turmoil after the election, that it's going to be horrible. And the answer is no, because you already know that, and all these other investors already know it. If you told me something that was totally unique, that nobody had thought about it, I would sit here and say, wow, Mark, that's ingenious. That's got some potential to it. But when you tell me something that I've read in the newspapers and I've heard on, and I've had clients call me left and right about the same silly thing, I say, forget it. The market's already priced it in. It's a done deal. Markets are smarter than people understand, and that's why they keep making mistakes trying to predict which way the market is going to go on a daily basis. Because markets already understand all these things. So if you think the market's going to tank if Biden gets elected, or it's going to go through the roof if Trump gets elected, you know, you're making a mistake. And here's a great example of it. Everybody said, carte blanche, if Trump wins, the market is going to go through the floor. I mean, it's going to just tank. And you know what happened? When Trump got elected, the market tanked for 3 or 4 hours in the overseas markets. And the minute it tanked, it all of a sudden started to settle. It was down 8% in 4 hours after the election. But by the end of the first morning, because nobody expected the guy to win, it was a surprise to the market that he won. And because it was a surprise, all of a sudden, the market said, wow, we never factored that this guy could win. And he's going to do this, this, and that, and boom, the market took off for the moon. But it had already factored in everything in the concept that he was going to lose. If he was going to win, you know, what would happen? They already had assumed, and these fools went out and invested on that after he did win, and they were absolutely wrong, got their head handed to them. So be careful on predicting that, my friend. All right? I got to run. We're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're on an open show. I only have one caller online. If you'd like to get online, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680, and ask your question. We're going to go to Roger in Bel Air. Roger, how can I help you, my friend?
Hi, good evening. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I have a quick question. I heard you earlier talking about credit freezing and credit thawing. Is that a pretty straightforward process, or how would one go about doing that?
So, as I said, the easiest way to learn how to do a credit freeze or a credit thaw is to Google search credit freeze Maryland Attorney General. And when you do, you're going to get a web page where the Attorney General is going to explain to you that Maryland allows you to freeze your credit bureaus. And here's the links that you go to when you go to the Experian one. And you say, I want to freeze my credit report. And you enter your information in and you go through the process. And then they go to Equifax and you'll get that link. And when you do, it says, you set up an account with us. Do you want to freeze your credit? Yes or no. And so do this. And then you go to TransUnion and you do it with them. And there's actually a fourth credit bureau out there a lot of people don't know about. It's called Innovis or Innovis. I don't know how they say their name. I-N-N-O-V-I-S. Innovis or Innovis. And you should freeze that one also because there are groups that use them. And that one you do the same. You go to their link. You go on. You say, I want to freeze my credit. And they send you a thing in the mail saying, if you ever want to thaw your credit, this is how to do it. So it's pretty straightforward now, and it's free. So there's no reason not to do it. It's free.
Great. Thank you so much. I actually tuned in a little later after you.
Yeah. Just Google search.
Sharing that. I have another question, quick question.
Yeah.
So when you have an unused credit card in a good standing with zero balance, would that be helpful to close the card that you're not normally using, or you should keep it open?
No, you have to keep those open. Actually, I got my own credit score dinged for that about 10 years ago. I got tired of having these old cards. I had an old GMAC credit card, you know, and I never used it. My wife had all kinds of retail credit cards, and I mean, there was no reason to have these credit cards anymore. So I went around and I closed them all because I figured, you know, it would be better just not to have them. And, you know, they dinged me because I didn't have a longer history of cards, because once I closed them, the history was closed also. And so they said, well, your most recent card's only 5 years old, so therefore we're going to ding you. I mean, it was ridiculous, but that's how these goofs think. And you just have to realize it. So don't go closing those old cards if you can. You know what I do? I get the cards in, and I never activate them, and I just throw them in a safe somewhere. And when the next one comes in 3, 4, 5 years later, I take the old one out, I shred it, and put the new one in there and never activate it.
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah. Thank you so much. Thanks.
And here's another thing, too, keep in mind, Roger. If you have an old card and they have a fee on it, okay, you know, like they charge $25 a year because of the old cards, they used to do that a lot, right? If they charge a fee on them, what you do is you call them up and you say, hey, I noticed you charged me a fee on that card. I'm not going to pay a fee with you. And you know what they 99% of the time say? Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Tignanelli. We'll take that off immediately. And thank you for calling and letting us know.
Absolutely. Great. Great idea. Thank you so much, Drew.
Take care. See ya. Good call. Anyway, we're here on an open show. You know what an open show means? It means that you're the guest. We're interviewing you, and you're asking us questions, and we're saying to you, this is what we think the answer to that question is. And so you get to call in, and you get to say, hey, this is important to me, and if you help me with this question, it'll be extremely beneficial to me in my personal financial planning. And we do this to demonstrate what we believe a true professional comprehensive advisor should do. And if your advisor doesn't do this kind of comprehensive advice on any topic, then you don't have a comprehensive advisor. You have a salesman, in my opinion. So consider that situation, because, you know, I don't care which of my colleagues you go to, as long as you go to somebody that's fee-only independent and a true comprehensive advisor that can go across the spectrum of all areas of personal finance. So if you want to call in tonight, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. Ralph in Essex, how can we help you?
I'm 71 years old.
I'm 63.
And I had to take a minimum distribution last year.
Okay.
And now they're saying I don't want to take it this year. I don't have to take it until I'm 72.
Correct.
But then I read something that said that something about you had to be 71 and a half or something. by December 31st this year. And my birthday is May 27th, and I'm going to be 71 and a half before.
See, you're 73, Ralph, right? Isn't that what you said?
No, I'm 71.
71. When's your birthday?
May 27th.
May 27th. So you turned 70 and a half in 2019.
Well, I can't remember what the details
are. I just told you. I just told you. You turned 70 and a half in 2019. Because you did, you've already begun your required minimum distribution period, okay? But here's the key. In 2020, you have no required minimum distribution because of the COVID laws that they passed. So 2020 is a past year. You don't have to do any required minimum distributions. Next year, you pick up again.
Okay.
Did I make that clear?
Yeah, I think so. I'll have to go back and read what I read because somehow it seems like it's...
Well, it doesn't matter because in 2020, you have no required minimum distribution. Nobody does, okay? You're going to be 72 next year anyway, which is the new required minimum distribution laws for 2020, for 2020 and on. And you turn 72 next year. So it's irrelevant, in essence.
Okay.
All right, my friend. Good question, though. You know, and it is confusing. And if he was born before July 1st of 1950, if he was born in 1949 before July 1, then he has to use the old 70 and a half laws as to when his required minimum distribution period began, which is last year for him. But if he was born July 1 and later, then his new required minimum distribution rules would be age 72 starting next year and whenever he turned 72. So it's kind of funky and weird, but it is what it is. We got to take another pause with traffic, but I hope that the person whose name is on the screen there, that I don't have my glasses. I put my glasses away for a second. And Pam in Essex, if you could wait, and we'll be right back with you after this traffic. Take it away. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Are you looking for a professional financial advisor that you can trust and help you through all stages of life? Having a team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs gives us the ability to help you prepare your tax return, strategize to help you minimize tax liability, help you visualize and reach your retirement goals, and help guide you in every other facet of personal financial planning. We demonstrate these abilities every Wednesday night on our radio show, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Have you been wanting a second opinion? Then consider our trademark service, the Financial Physical. We guarantee if you don't come away from your Financial Physical with a sense of immense value, then there will be absolutely no charge. Call 410-823-7283 to speak with me and the team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs. That is 410-823-SAVE or go online to financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBS.
Yep, just like I expected. End of the hour, we get the lines jammed up, and we got to fly through them. So let's go. Pam in Essex, how can we help you?
Hello.
Hi.
I could start collecting Social Security April.
Okay.
And I plan on continuing to work, but I have my sister keeps telling me that, and I didn't plan on getting the Social Security because I'm going to be working, but someone keeps telling me, my sister, that I should get it and save the money. But I know that if I wait, I can get an additional 8%. It's 8% up to 70, right?
How are you married or single?
Single.
And what general age range are you in there, Pam?
I'm 66.
So you're at your full retirement age. So if you're going to continue to work and you feel your life expectancy is good, you're in good health and your family has good long-term life expectancy, then I would agree with you. You wait, and every year you wait, you get an 8% increase. Keep in mind, your sister has a good theory, but it doesn't work as easy as she thinks. So because if you take that Social Security and you continue to work, and you're making, let's say, $40,000, $50,000, all of a sudden, all that Social Security that you're getting, they're going to say, we want to tax 85% of it. And let's say you're in the 22% tax bracket. Next thing you know, you get $20,000 of Social Security. They're going to ask for $4,000 or $5,000 of that in tax liability. Yeah. So it's not as simple an equation as people make it out to be. I agree with you. You wait.
That's what I thought, and I make a lot more money than
you will. And keep in mind, here's another interesting thing about your theory, okay, is if you wait, every year you wait, it goes up 8% a year. And now, not only do you get 8% a year more, but every year they compound at the rate of inflation, they're compounding your higher 8% per year increase over the rate of inflation, and that makes it even that much more powerful to wait. All right, my friend?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Good question. Very logical. Keith in Parkville, how can we help you?
Yeah, I have a stock question.
Go ahead, quick.
If you have a company that's in bankruptcy,
yep,
but they're not being bought out by anybody, they're simply restructuring.
Okay.
Do the common stockholders still take a hit and they're going to lose their stock?
Could be. It just depends. It depends on the bankruptcy. It depends on the way the liquidation is going. It depends on the negotiations with the bondholders. The easiest way to tell whether you're going to get wiped out or not is the price that the stock is trading at. If that stock is trading at 20 cents, 50 cents, 10 cents, 5 cents, something like that, chances are you're wiped out. If, on the other hand, it's trading for $2, $1.50, something like that, maybe even $10 for all I know, then there's probably a reorganization taking place and you're going to probably still end up with some common stock, but it's going to be devalued from where you originally were because the bondholders will take common stock and dilute your value.
Right.
That's typically what happens. Not always, but it's typically what happens in bankruptcy. But it's more complicated than that, but that's a simple 101 on what to look for when you own a stock in bankruptcy and what to think about. All right?
All right, great. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Take care. Good question. Interesting question. We're going to Michael in Glen Burnie. Michael in Glen Burnie, how can we help you?
Yes, sir. I'm calling in regards to home insurance programs where you evidently give a lump sum and then receive it at the
end. Sure, you're talking about there's only one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Is that universally better to do? Or
No. It's not universally better to do. It's a preference thing, in my opinion. Now, you know, I could go through all the economics and show you why is a reasonably good deal, okay? And, you know, for example, if you're paying $1,000 a year for your homeowner's insurance and they're asking you for a deposit of, let's say, $11,000, you think about it. You're earning, what, 0.01% on your money? And you know, here you could give them $10,000 on what might be sitting around in a bank account and that's earning nothing and no longer have to pay your homeowner's premium, that's a pretty good deal, right? But
sure.
You have to have the liquidity to be able to do that, number one. You know, but me personally, I just don't like giving lump sums of money to people. And though I could make the argument for the way of doing things, there's some other issues that I have with how it operates and the type of policy, the way it's designed and so forth. But you also have to keep in mind that they don't do auto insurance. And a lot of times you get a better deal when you package your auto, home, and umbrella all together with the same company. So that's a negative to, but I would never tell a client who wants to use that's a bad decision. It's a very good decision, and it's more of a subjective one for each and every person. And if you think it works for you, my friend, I would definitely go with it.
Yeah, well, as far as the bundling is concerned, I'm visually disabled, so I don't even own a car any longer. So,
you don't, the auto situation doesn't matter to you. So that's a great situation. And yeah, if you've got the liquidity to give up whatever lump sum they want, and it's and your premium for homeowners insurance is fairly substantial, does a great job. You know, it's not for everyone.
Yeah.
But for somebody like yourself, on the facts that you just gave me, I would not hesitate to use it if you want to.
Okay.
All right, super. Buddy?
I thank you for your advice, sir.
Take care. Good question. It's a, what's that company been around for, since like 1783 or something ridiculous like that? So, you know, they do a good job. My father used to be the head of claims for Baltimore's, Harleysville's branch of Baltimore, and then became the senior vice president of claims for Harleysville Mutual Insurance. So they competed against and he knew all those people and always had the highest of praise for the way they ran the company and so forth. So, you know, it's a good, sound organization, does a great job for the people that like that program. And especially for my friend Michael there, who doesn't drive anymore. He doesn't have to package his auto. You know, it could work perfect for him. So anyway, there's a lot of great questions on personal finance, and that's what a professional advisor should be able to do, is go through each and every one of them with you and help you answer those questions. Kind of like working with a doctor of general medicine, internal medicine, general practitioner in medicine. You get your doctor and he can't answer questions about your heart or your feet or your lungs or whatever. You know, who wants to work with that kind of doctor? All they talk about is, you know, your right arm, you know, and they want to give you prescription drugs to that they're going to make commissions off of. That's what this industry reminds me of. People who work with commission-oriented sales salespeople. And, you know, trust me, 90% of people in this industry are nothing more than commission-oriented salespeople. And, you know, I usually find people and they say, oh, no, not my guy. But then when I go look and I say, well, yeah, he is. He's with LPL Financial. He's with Merrill Lynch. He's with Northwestern Mutual. He's with, and they think, no, not my guy. He works on fees. And that's not the issue. The issue, can he do taxes? Can he do estate planning? Can he do all forms of property casualty insurance and address the issues about Baltimore Equitable Life versus Erie versus Nationwide or State Farm or whatever? Can they do Social Security and tell you all the different nuances of Social Security? Can they talk about mortgages and so forth? That's what a comprehensive, great, comprehensive personal financial advisor is supposed to do. And if you want to find one, you know, NAPFA is always the best site to go look for a comprehensive advisor. NAPFA, N-A-P-F-A, National Association of Personal Financial Advisors. Everyone in that organization has to be credentialed, educated, independent, work as a fiduciary at all times, and prove comprehensive competence. And so that's why we say, you know, look to NAPFA. And, you know, we love that you choose us as the firm, but it doesn't matter. We just want you to work with a comprehensive professional advisor who's fee-only, independent, and works as a fiduciary, always in your best interest. This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.
Showery people you love with love. Show them the way you feel. Things are gonna be much better with